Touch Ministries.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to WMIE 91.5 FM, and you are listening to the Refresh radio broadcast, a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I have the privilege of spending the next half hour with you. And believe me, after last week, it is a privilege to be here on the radio with you today. And I pray that all is going well in your life and you are preparing for God to equip you to do great and mighty things, things that you have dreamed about but never thought that they would become a reality. I am here to tell you, I believe that God can make those dreams come true. He did not create in you a desire that he intended for it to go unfulfilled. Let me take you to the Word this morning. I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, it is called the Hall of Faith by many people. It is a great, great chapter. And so let me just begin reading right now in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." What a great testimony. You know, a lot of times we share testimonies, like I did yesterday, of things that God has done for us, financial miracles, healings, salvations. But I just like to take just this little brief interlude here to say, what a testimony that you have when you can say, you know what? God's pleased. God's pleased with that. Amen? "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So let's just pause there for just a moment. God has given you the measure of faith. The question is not whether or not it was supplied to you. The question is, what will you do with that faith? That faith is meant as the vehicle that we get to employ that will enable us to have that same testimony that Enoch did, that we please him. In order for that to become a reality, we have to come to God believing that he is. There are way too many people who are hoping that God exists rather than believing that he exists. And then there's another segment who don't have any expectation, but I want you to realize that this verse creates in us an expectation that when we come to God in faith, believing who he is, that we should also believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so I told you a little bit on yesterday's program about the sermon that I preached on Sunday morning about God creating in us a desire that we are going to reach for it, we're going to stretch for it, and I'm praying that God will stretch us spiritually, because I believe that there is something worth grabbing onto. I believe that there's a purpose and a passion that God has for your life that is worth stretching for. It's worth working for. And so you and I, we are not called to just sit around and passively wait. The waiting that is talked about in the scriptures is not a passive inactivity. It is patiently serving. It is patiently expecting that God is going to show up on the scene and that God is going to reward those who diligently seek him. So if you were to look back at the first month of your 2018, how would you assess your diligently seeking of the Lord? How does it fit into your schedule? How does it fit into your finances? How does it look as you evaluate it as far as your priorities? Would your church attendance reflect that you are diligently seeking the Lord? Would your study of the Word and the amount of time that you spend in prayer, would you say you're diligently seeking the Lord? Because if you are, there's a reward that God has for you. Now, a lot of people look at rewards as financial remuneration and things like that, but I want you to understand that God told Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. Every reward, as you evaluate it against the presence of God in your life, is a substandard. It is an inferior type of reward. The greatest reward is the presence of God. And so if you've got the presence of God in your life as an individual, if you've got the presence of God in your home, if you've got the presence of God with your children, if you've got the presence of God in your finances, I'm telling you, that's an exceedingly great reward. It just doesn't get any better. Okay? By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That's quite interesting. So we've got faith. Noah obeys by faith without having seen any evidence that what he was working towards was going to happen. Just God said it was going to happen. Abraham goes out and he doesn't know all of the details. If I can challenge you today, I don't need to know all the details. I just need to know God. And if I know God, I know that he has all of the details already taken care of. So back up in verse number 7, we see that Noah made preparations, and you and I, we should be in that preparation mode as well. This radio program has been something that has been very revelatory for me. As I prepare for this, I take it pretty seriously about sharing the Word of God. And the things that I'm sharing, sometimes they lead me to things that I haven't seen in the Word before. And so I pray that this year will be a breakthrough year for you. Now, a lot of times when preachers and churches talk about breakthrough, we talk about breakthrough in a spiritual dimension and living in victory and all of that. That's what we like to talk about as breakthrough. But what if you had a breakthrough in your prayer life where you started praying with greater passion and greater intensity, and you were praying the effective, fervent prayers of a righteous person? What if you had a breakthrough in your prayer time where it wasn't about the amount of time on the clock you spent, but it was about the opportunity and the privilege that you had to spend with the lover of your soul. What if you had a breakthrough in your study of the Word, where as you were reading it, that the words were just leaping off of the pages and coming alive? What if you had a breakthrough in your inhibitions that have held you back from taking steps of faith and doing what God has called you to do? What if you had a breakthrough and those strongholds were broken and you were set free to pursue the things that God has birthed in your spirit? That, I believe, is a great breakthrough. You don't have to know all of the details, but you do need to be making preparation for what that is. I was, when I was in Oklahoma last week, I was sharing with someone about a moment in my time in my life, and I've shared it here on the radio program before, where a lady, I don't remember her name, was interviewing me for a scholarship that I did not get. And that lady, that nameless lady, who may not have even been a believer, I don't know. I don't know anything at all about her. That day of rejection ended up being one of the most crucial days in my life, because it was the day that I said, you know what? I am going to start passionately pursuing the call that God has for me on my life. And you might have been a thumb twiddler. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody that just sitting there twiddling their thumbs, or the old guys out there on the front porch, you know, with a piece of wheat in their jaw, and they're just sitting out there cutting away at a piece of wood, not really accomplishing much at all. I want you to know God's got much more for you than that. He doesn't want you just in a perpetual holding pattern. He wants you preparing for what he has for you. And don't wait for all of the details. When God tells you that it is time to move, it's time to move. You see, we tried to instill in our kids that it wasn't when we got to three that they needed to be obeying. You see, whenever you tell kids, okay, you need to do this, and they don't do it, and you need to do this, okay, I'm going to count to three. Well, what you have done is you've just instilled in those children that you really don't mean what you say until you get to three, and they're going to press that and see if that three actually means four, or if that four means 10. They're going to continue to press the boundaries. And what we tried to teach our kids was this. There may come a time when you are in harm's way, and you don't have time for me to count to 10. You don't have time for me to go through that progression that you think you're entitled to in your head. You need to do what you need to pay attention to what we say. And when we say move, you need to move, because we are looking out for your best interest. What if I told you that God has never made a mistake in his positioning of people? What if I told you that he's never been wrong as far as timing? What if I told you that you could trust this faithful God with every area of your life? Abraham, and it said, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in the tents. You see, Abraham not only exercised faith when he went and left from his father's household, but he also was able to stay because of the faith that God had given. He had faith to go and he had faith to stay. He had faith to depart and he had faith to dwell. How are you exercising your faith today? Verse number 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham lived as a nomad in the promised land. He lived as a nomad, but he wasn't looking for a mansion. He wasn't looking for anything that this world could build. He was looking for a city that was founded and built and constructed, designed by God. And I want to encourage you today to lift up your eyes and look to God as a God of faithfulness who has something better in store for you and I. Don't miss heaven for the world. Don't miss heaven for the world. It's going to be absolutely glorious. Verse number 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. Listen to this. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So let me just look at Sarah here. Most of the time we don't picture Sarah as being a person of faith. But it says here that it was because she judged God faithful that she received strength. Okay? Because God was faithful, she was strengthened. The Bible talks about God taking us from faith to faith. And so I would ask you, as you're in the early parts of 2018 here, is God making you stronger? Do you have more faith when you pray? Do you have more faith when you say, when you study the Word? Do you have more faith when you are out there sharing the love of Jesus Christ? Because there should be a greater degree of faith in the exercise of your life than what there was last year. It also talks about from taking us from glory to glory. And it also talks about taking us from strength to strength. So let's look at Sarah. By faith, she received strength because she judged him faithful who had promised. There's a verse, it's one of my favorite verses. It says, to the faithful you show yourself faithful. And I believe that when we feast on the faithfulness of God, that there is a strengthening that happens inside of us that is not natural. Sarah was 89 years old when she received the strength to conceive. So please do not tell me that you are too old to be strengthened by an almighty God. Okay? Let's look at that word almighty just a moment. Do you truly have faith that God is an almighty God and he's faithful to be the almighty God? That means he's the omnipotent one. That's a fancy word that means he is all powerful. There isn't anything constructive that he cannot do. The reason I put it that way is the scripture says God cannot lie. Okay? So it doesn't matter if you are facing the Egyptian army. It doesn't matter if you're facing the Assyrian army. It doesn't matter if you're facing a terminal illness like Hezekiah did. It doesn't matter if you were born with a condition of blindness that no one had ever been healed of, like the person in John. It doesn't matter if you have been caught in the act of adultery, like the woman in John chapter 8. It doesn't matter if you are considered part of the outcast Samaritan group that people look upon you with disdain. You see, God is the omnipotent one, and he is able to remove sin. He is able to forgive sin. He is able to bring revival. There is nothing that he can't do. And that almighty God is able to strengthen me, and he is able to strengthen you. If we will consider him faithful and put our faith in the faithfulness of God, He is faithful to call you. He is faithful to keep you. He is faithful to equip you. He is faithful to be with you. He is faithful to never leave you and never forsake you. He is the faithful God. A lot of people, as soon as the first little bit of opposition arises, God, where'd you go? Where'd you go? Okay. In all reality, none of us like opposition. We can't stand it. It's painful. It's inconvenient. It produces sorrow and stress, and none of us like that at all. But God is still faithful, even during that time. She received strength to conceive, and she bore a child. Now, I just want you to know that if I'm 99, I don't want to be having a baby. Okay, I just don't. It says that Abraham, his body was as good as dead. Sarah's body was dead. You see, Abram had already conceived Ishmael, so there wasn't a problem on his end. He went on after Isaac and had a number of other children after Sarah died with a second wife named Keturah. You need a special dispensation of grace to be having kids at that age, as far as I'm concerned. But Sarah considered God faithful, and she received strength and was able to conceive and to bear a child when she was no longer eligible with the age requirements. So my question for you today is, what is God stirring you to believe? You see, it wasn't just at 89 that there was the promise made. The promise received greater clarity. But Abram, I think, was about 60 years old when he left his father and headed out for the promised land. He was already not a young guy. That would have put Sarah at 50. And for 39 years, they had been looking for the promise of God. And if you have seen a delay, you know, maybe you're praying for a child that has wandered. Maybe you are praying for a job that hasn't come through yet. And the devil is trying to get you to believe that God's let you down. I want to encourage you. You just keep trusting in God. Say, God, strengthen me. Strengthen me for the task that you have in store. You know that they named their son Isaac, which means laughter. Isaac, his name means laughter. And what if I told you that today there is joy that is set in front of you, that if you and I will trust in the faithfulness of God, if we will continue to say, God, you know, I don't know what you need to do in me to prepare me for what is coming, but I am looking forward to what you are going to do in my life. You see, we talk about the suffering of the cross, but it said Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. I'm telling you that God is faithful, and the things that he is going to provide for you are not going to lead to greater misery in your life. They are going to lead to greater joy in your life. I believe that if we will say, God, would you strengthen me to be fruitful in a supernatural sense, not just in a natural sense, that there is joy that is going to come about as a result of that. I believe that as you and I, as our churches are pouring into young people, that they're, listen, when you are dealing with young people, there are going to be some challenges that arise. But I can also tell you that there is some joy that is there, that if we will allow God to strengthen us, to minister to those young people, that there is going to be life in the house of God, and there's going to be joy in the house of God. You see, if the devil cannot prevent you from receiving the fulfillment of the promise, he will try and deprive you of the joy of that. Today, I remind you that the scripture says, the word of God says, that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Today, can we not only believe God for fruitfulness, but can we believe him for the joy that he is going to faithfully provide? The joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah says. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There are too many miserable saints out there. Too many people who've lost the wonder and the joy and the awe. You know, I can still remember the joy of getting the phone call that said, You're hired. I can remember the joy of that first time when my wife, who wasn't my wife, said, yes, I will go out with you. I remember the joy of the wedding day. I remember the joy of holding my kids. I remember the joy of preaching my very first sermon at Merit Assembly of God in a 52 degree sanctuary. You see, don't allow the devil to come along and undermine the faithfulness of God and deprive you of the joy that God wants you to have in your life. Life is too short to be going through it miserable. So our women were at a ladies' conference last fall, and as they were at the conference, I was talking with our district superintendent's wife, and she made a comment, and I said, oh my goodness, you are the only person that I have ever heard mention that is one of my favorite stories. It was by an old country guy by the name of Jerry Clower. And she said, oh, no, I know it. And then her husband, our district superintendent, preached for us in December. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, that's one of our favorite lines around there. And I tell you, one day I was getting ready to share that story in a message. And a person said, you know, they just didn't want anything like that in their life. And I said, well, I'm sorry to tell you, I didn't tell him the joke. I said, but if you don't like having a good time in church, you're going to be absolutely miserable today, because we're going to have a good time in the house of the Lord. I pray today that as you have a job to go to, as you have a family to come home to, if you have a vehicle to drive, you've got good reason today to rejoice in the Lord. Let God strengthen you for the days ahead. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.